It's Wednesday, August 26, 2026. I'm Richard Davis with KNAU's Local News Now. A uranium mining company missed a Monday deadline to turn over communications between its executives and the feds. KNAU's Chris Clements reports the deadline comes amid a congressional investigation into energy fuels for potential insider trading.
Two House Democrats allege the Trump administration may have tipped Energy Fuels off about the cut to Bears Ears National Monument before it happened, leading company executives to invest in their own firm. One of the Democrats is U.S. Representative Jared Huffman of California.
The timing and the volume of these stock purchases are conspicuous and speak for themselves.
Huffman asked the company to send a year's worth of communications with the feds, as well as its lobbying contracts, by August 24th. But Energy Fuels didn't provide the materials by that deadline, according to a spokesperson for Huffman. In a statement, the company said it strongly rejects the idea that anything improper took place, but didn't deny that it missed the deadline. Energy Fuels stands to benefit from less protections to the uranium-rich monument, the lawmakers argue, because the company owns the White Mesa Mill, the only conventional uranium processing mill in the U.S. For KNAU, I'm Chris Clements in Flagstaff.
The federal plan to manage the Colorado River calls for big water cuts in Arizona, Nevada, and California. But water conservation in the Upper Basin could still play a role. KUNC's Rachel Cohen reports.
The Upper Basin states of Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico are not being asked to make cuts. But the plan calls on those states to voluntarily conserve up to 200,000 acre-feet per year when conditions allow. John Bergram with the nonprofit Western Resource Advocates says the federal government is allowing those states to store water in a conservation pool in Lake Powell. But the details of how that will work are still unclear.
How that pool operates, how the water is used, when it's moved, if it's moved, who decides that, all that is going to depend on future agreements.
The Headwater states are currently setting up programs to pay water users who voluntarily contribute water, backed by $100 million in federal funds. Incentives could be available next year. I'm Rachel Cohen.
Arizona water officials reviewing a federal plan to cut Colorado River use say it has legal flaws, but also offers a short reprieve from worse cuts. The Arizona Republic reports it calls for reducing more than a quarter of the state's allocation, with deeper cuts possible after 2 years. Members of the state's River Advisory Panel met Monday and voiced anger and resolve for using 2 years to adapt and find new water sources. The cuts will have the most impact on the Central Arizona Project, which supplies a third of Phoenix's tap water. Officials worry the cuts could cause the canal system to go completely dry. The University of Arizona has launched the nation's first MD, granting medical school within a tribal nation. Last week, the university and Gila River Indian community officials announced the partnership to educate future physicians in the tribal healthcare system and expand access in underserved communities. Beginning next July, 10 students will be admitted annually to the 3-year program and will receive full tuition scholarships funded by Gila River Healthcare. The U.S. faces a chronic shortage of physicians, especially in rural and tribal communities. Arizona ranks 42nd in the nation for primary care access, and the state's rapidly growing population has intensified the demand for doctors. A former Apache Junction police officer has resigned after admitting he misused flock camera technology to track his wife. According to internal affairs records obtained by AZ Family, two telecommunication officers who helped him search the system were also disciplined. Coconino County health officials are sounding the alarm about the possible threat of foodborne illness through unlicensed food vendors. They're urging people to avoid unregulated businesses that sometimes appear in parking lots and on the side of roadways. Unlicensed vendors haven't been inspected by Coconino County Health and Human Services to ensure they meet food and safety requirements. Officials point out that a vast majority of street and mobile food vendors are licensed and employ safe food practices. They have to display a sticker or permit requiring them to follow basic food safety to reduce the risk of foodborne illness. A former Apache Junction police officer has resigned after admitting he misused flock camera technology to track his wife. According to internal affairs records obtained by AZ Family, two telecommunications officers who helped him search the system were also disciplined. Apache Junction Police Chief Mike Pooley acknowledged the now former officer, Joshua McDaniel, misused the cameras, triggering an investigation. McDaniel said he exercised poor judgment and resigned from the force. The Apache Junction case is one of four Valley Police Departments caught in audits for inappropriate use of flock cameras. Two people were hospitalized earlier this week after severe flooding and storms struck Bryce Canyon National Park in southern Utah. ABC4 reports Garfield County deputies and park rangers responded to the area Monday afternoon, but were delayed by severe lightning. Rescuers located four groups on four separate trails and eventually rescued 11 adults. Two were transported to the hospital with symptoms of hypothermia. The rest were assessed by medical staff at the scene and released. Highway 12 was closed during the operation, but has since reopened. The suspect in a fatal shooting of a Tucson police recruit and the wounding of his fiancée was taken into custody Monday. The Arizona Republic reports Alex James Barnett was on the run for more than 5 days. The incident triggered a statewide public safety alert last Thursday night. Barnett was arrested by a Pima County regional SWAT team at an apartment complex in Tucson after a three-hour standoff. Officers received a tip that Barnett was there. He later surrendered and was arrested without incident. No motive has been revealed in the shooting of police recruit Carlos Ramirez and his fiancée last week.
Support for KNAU's Weekend Weather Outlook comes from Northern Arizona Roof Services.
So we've got an extreme heat warning in effect. Can you tell us about that and where we are with this pattern of near to record heat as far as degrees above normal goes?
Right. But heat is the headline of our forecast here through the remainder of the week. And this is due to very strong high pressure that has moved in directly overhead. That's going to bring a downturn in the monsoon activity and bring temperatures to near record type daily high temperatures for this time of year. So extreme heat warnings have been issued from the National Weather Service for elevations below 4,000 feet in Yavapai County in the interior of the Grand Canyon. And that is today through the end of the week, and these are issued when, you know, very hot temperatures can lead to heat-related illnesses. So folks are cautioned to take it easy outside when it's 110 degrees out, but, you know, it comes with the territory. We all kind of know it.
Is there a correlation between high heat and lack of monsoon?
That's a good question. I say that it is indirectly related, you know. The strong high pressure that brings the monsoonal moisture also brings the heat. But when things are in a perfect world, we get a bunch of moisture with that strong high pressure. We get cloud cover, we get rain, and it eases the heat. When this high pressure kind of shuts and wobbles right overhead, it's not positioned over the four corners in the perfect spot. It doesn't allow for moisture introduction into the state. And so when you have the strong high pressure and you don't have the moisture, you get the heat. I've always said if it's not raining, it's going to be hot. It would be 85, 90 degrees every day in Flagstaff if we didn't have the cloud cover and we didn't have the rain. But when things are all in order, we get the cloud cover and the rain, and it helps with the heat. Right now, we have marginal moisture in place, so temperatures are going to be running hot for this time of year over the next several days. Mountain locations like us here in Flagstaff, you know, we're near 90 degrees. The Prescott region's near 100 degrees. The Verde Valley's near 110 degrees. Yesterday, I mean, Phoenix, you know, it starts to wear you out when you're in the South Central Desert. But again, it's part of life here. Yesterday, Phoenix was 115. That's pretty extreme heat for late August. And they have temperatures near that for the remainder of the week. So the heat's in place into Friday. We're looking at isolated showers and thunderstorms and some afternoon cloud cover to help things out. The monsoon moisture does slowly creep back into the picture here over the next couple days. And like this monsoon has gone with the coming and going and the ebbs and flows, this coming weekend looks to be strong. And models are indicating we move into a wet period beginning Saturday afternoon and moving all the way into Monday with widespread rain day and night. We'll see if this pans out. We'll be keeping an eye on that the next couple days. But the weekend's looking strong, but it does seem to be the personality of this monsoon. It's had a hard time really just locking in. A lot of coming and going with this monsoon season.
And so that's normal for our monsoon to kind of yo-yo like that. What's behind an extended period of, well, yo-yoing, for lack of a better term?
Right. I mean, the monsoon, the way we refer to it in the meteorological world, is breaks and bursts. With the monsoon, it ebbs and flows. It is totally part of what it does. This one has just been more characterized by that. It's really had a hard time just locking in, at least in my opinion. You know, it seems like we'll get it for 3 or 4 days, and we're off for a week. And then 3 or 4 days, and we're off for a week. It is the nature of the beast. This one has just been it's a shining example of that. And it's been a good monsoon for most. I mean, most of the region is at average, or if not above. We ran over the numbers last hour, but Flagstaff Pulliam Airport, one of the weird spots in town, is actually below average, 4.5 inches right now at Pulliam Airport. 5.5 inches would be average, but I would say other parts of town are just doing fine, and most of the region is doing great. Kingman above average at 2 inches, Page right around average at 1 inch. Prescott, well above average, more rain than Flagstaff. At Love Field, 5.5 inches, 4 inches is average. Sholo Airport, looking good at over 6 inches of rain, 5 inches is average. And Winslow, 3.5 inches, and just around 2 inches is average. So things are going swimmingly with the monsoon, I would have to say.
Does this amount of rainfall make up for the dry summer and parched spring that led into us?
No, definitely not. We're on average. We were well below average moving into the season. It was a dry spring. It was a dry winter. We're well below average on the calendar year. We're well below average on the calendar year. And it's hard to make up for lost snow. I mean, even though our rain season is great for the ecology of the forest, it doesn't recharge area reservoirs that take snow. So, you know, as good as the monsoon season is, it doesn't make up for deficits of snowpack and snowpack recharging groundwater and reservoir water. We all know we've had some seasons that are sad. So this one is going well. The ecology of the forest looks great. Things are greening up. Flowers are out. Things are going well.
Will our listeners be able to spot the lunar eclipse tomorrow night, or is cloud cover a concern?
Thank you for bringing that up. I didn't mention it. Tomorrow night, we have a nearly full lunar eclipse. The moon moves into the Earth's shadow. This is visible across all of Arizona, the entire United States for that matter. We will have some cloud cover issues. We've had some leftover evening type clouds, and it looks like we're going to have some cloud cover tomorrow night, although, you know, some high scud clouds out there I don't think are going to completely obscure us. It's not out of the question. I think we will be able to look at it. Moon enters the inner shadow of the Earth right around 7:30 tomorrow night. Maximum eclipse, 96%. Not total eclipse, is right around 9:30. It goes to 10:52. Get out and try to check it out.
This is KNAU's Local News Now.